There was a professor from Columbia University, Professor Crouch, once said, which I quote, "A man's life has any more meaning than the life of the humblest insect that crawls from one annihilation to another." That's not fair. I'm not an insect. We don't agree with that, with the professor. Otherwise, life has no meaning at all. Just like Solomon said from the beginning, start of chapter 1, vanity of vanity, all vanity is rather meaningless. Life is meaningless if I'm an insect. It's not worth living. Life is not worth living. Therefore, we do it just eat, drink, and if I may add, sleep, be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's how it should be. In chapter 1, I preach on first two chapters, 1 and 2. In chapter 1, Solomon argued that life is like a broken bubbles, soap bubbles. Life is like chasing after the wind, shifting after the wind. In chapter 2, he hated life. Although in the latter part of chapter 2, he said, life is acceptable. He accepted life. Life is wonderful. It's from God. It's a blessing from God. He said, we have to thank God for the blessing of life and the enjoyment of the blessing. Not only for the blessing of life, but the enjoyment of that blessing. Some people are blessed, but they don't realize that's a blessing. So they don't enjoy the blessing that God has given them. And later on, we'll consider that one of God's blessings are labors, toils, burdens. That's also a gift from the Lord. That's a gift. What would you think if all blessings are all happiness, joy, merry? Life is not balanced at all. But God has given us the gift of burdens, of labor. We'll see that in later part. Here in chapter 3, Solomon gave four factors or four things to show that life is not meaningless. It's just the opposite of chapter 1. He said life is meaningless in chapter 1, vanity, meaningless, and meaningless at all. Under the sun, life under the sun is UN. But in chapter 3, he gave things or factors to show that life is not vanity. First, he saw something above man. And what's above man? He saw God. It's above man. God that controls. What was read today? Today was chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. He saw something that's above man. God is in control. Actually, different times. And they are opposites. Time to be born, time to die. Who controls life? Who controls death? A time to weep and a time to laugh. We might weep, but God gives comfort at the end, laughter and everything. So he said, above man, God is in control. Verses 1 to 8. When Solomon said in verse 1 that in everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And NIV says, there is a time for everything and a season to every activity under heaven. Under heaven. But above heaven, above the earth, there is God. So we look at man above man. And a season for every activity. There is a supreme being that controls the activity of everything that happens to man. There is a season. And then secondly, he saw something within man, not only above man, but he saw something within man, that within man there is eternity. In other words, we were created in the image of God, and we are connected with God, our spirit, connected with God. God will always bring us, love us, and he has eternity in the hearts of men. Man was created in his image, Genesis. And thirdly, he saw that what is ahead of man. First, above, what is above man. Secondly, what is within man. And thirdly, what is ahead of man. Can you guess? What do you think was ahead of man? What is ahead of us? Death. Death. He saw death. Solomon saw what's ahead of man. Verse 19 to 21. Verses 19 to 21. He saw what is ahead of man. And fourth, he saw something around man. And this something the around man, actually, he discussed in detail in chapter 4. But we're not dealing with that so much. But, you know, the scripture, when originally it was written in manuscript, they're not divided by chapters or by verses. But Bible scholars made it easy for us to locate. They divided into chapters and verses. So he said, there's something around man. He said, dealt with that, the burdens of life, in chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. But for today, we'll just concentrate on chapter 3. So Solomon asks his listeners, Solomon the preacher, actually preaching to himself, ask his listeners to look up, look within, look ahead, and in chapter 4, look around us. Look around, the burdens. Let's look at this three of the four, because the fourth is in chapter 4. Number one, he said, look up. God orders time. Verse 1 to 8, that was read this morning. Look up. God orders time. Time to kill, time to heal, time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh. So on, so forth, and so on. Look up. Times and seasons are a regular part of life, or life. That's why I said, what if everything was all happiness, joy, comfort? Life wouldn't be boring. I think if we have all this, everything good, just one side, I'll get bored. But on the other hand, God gives us the gift of burden or labor. And that makes life balance. Because we can look at God and say, Lord, I have this burden. And we look at him and ask for his help. That's the purpose of God, for giving us the gift of burden. He gave that gift to Job. Job. We know. I have here, a few years ago, I think my wife gave this to me, life seasons. I think this came from, I believe, came from the Daily Bread. Let me read. It's a devotional on Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Verse 1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. The beauty in the way God designed the four seasons is that though each one is distinct, they all work together to bring life and growth. Spring is a period of freshness and new life. Summer sees growth and productivity. Autumn is a time of harvesting the rewards of past labors. Winter is the season of dormancy and closure. Dormancy and closure. Each season has its own unique beauty, and it makes a significant contribution to life. That's what I'm saying. Each season is distinct, and it gives a significant contribution to life. Not all joy or happiness. Just as God planned season in nature, he planned seasons in life as well. Life has its springtime, when you begin new things and look excitedly toward the future. Summer comes and we look diligently in the heat of the day, all that God has assigned to us. With autumn comes the fruition of things begun at an earlier time in our lives. Winter brings an end to a particular period in our lives. Sometimes winter brings hardships. But we remain hopeful, for another spring is just around the corner. In God's perfect design for our lives, He has planned for times of fruitfulness and activity. Fruitfulness and activity. He will also build in times of quiet and rest. There will be times when He asks us to remain faithful, doing the same work day after day after day. But there will also be periods of excitement and new beginnings. By God's grace, we will enjoy seasons of harvesting the fruit of our faithfulness. And by God's grace, we will also overcome the cold winters of heartache and grief. I like that. By God's grace, we'll also overcome the cold winters of heartaches and grief. For without winter, there would be no spring. Just as it is the seasons of nature, these seasons in our lives work together to bring about God's perfect will for each one of us. I like that. Wonderful. While reading this, I was just thinking of my country. We have four seasons here. In my country, in the Philippines, there are only two seasons. Rainy season and hot season, summer. And when it rains there, it really pours. And when it's hot, it's really very hot. Just two seasons. But we survive. We like it. And I prefer this four seasons here than the two seasons. Okay. God ordained natural laws. God is behind all of these things, all the seasons. Otherwise, the world would be in chaos. There is divine providence in all of this. God is in control of our lives. From birth to death, God is accomplishing His purpose in our lives. Even if you don't understand it, sometimes you don't understand, we question God. But He controls our lives at different times. Everything will be, verse 11, he said, every season, or he used the word, Solomon used the word, everything. Look at verse 11. In everything, everything will be beautiful in His time. In other words, every season, whatever season it will be that comes to our lives, will be beautiful because it's His time. In His time, God gave us a time. Let's look at Solomon's statements in verses 1 to 8 as had been read to us. Here, Solomon gave 14 pairs of opposite events. You'll notice what was read, 1 to 8. There are 14 pairs of opposite events. Time to be happy, time to be sad, time to kill, time to for peace. All opposite, 14 pairs. In verse 2, he says, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to be born, birth and death. These are by divine appointments. I have put in my cell phone, write the verse, because sometimes we're invited to birthday parties, birthdays, and I share some devotional. They request me to pray for prayer for birthday celebrants. And I always read Psalm 139, verse 13 and 16 says, you have created my, in David, this King David is speaking, you have created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Before I was born, God already has a calendar for that, as a record, that I'll be born. Even before David said, before I was knit, he said, your eyes haven't, you saw my unformed body, even before it was formed. God already sees us. And then, the same verse, B, verse 2, second part, there's a planting and plucking. Man may plant, but only God can give the increase, the fruits of the plants that we plant. Only God can give you grace. And then verse 3, killing and healing. This one I have to struggle a little bit, killing and healing, because, and I made a little research on this. Probably said, a Bible study scholar said, probably Solomon was referring to the sickness and the plague or pestilence that happened in 1 Samuel chapter, book of Samuel chapter 2, and that happened in the land. God permits some to die, and he allows others to be healed. There are times for killing and times for healing. And then verse 5, casting away stones and gathering stones. Why stones? There was a story told of a tourist in Israel, in Palestine. When they reached Palestine, they said, he asked the guide, why are there lots of stones here? Rocks, Palestine. I haven't been there, I don't know. The tourist said, a story is told by old folks that God gave stones to an angel to distribute stones on the earth. But the angel tripped in Palestine, so they have all the stones there. He wasn't able to distribute the stones equally. He tripped in Palestine. But, you know, funny guy, tourist guy. It's a rocky indeed. If you want to hurt a farmer, put stones in his farm, in his land. But it says, time to gather stones. That's more about like you want to plant something, you gather stones if you want to plant. I'm sure this our yard here must have some lots of stones before, but you must have removed the stones and plant this grass. So if you want to plant, gather all the stones, remove them. And someone said, if you want to hurt the farmer, put lots of stones in his farm. But if somebody throws stones or rocks in you, don't throw them back. Make use of them. You can put up boulders, fence, barricade, make use of the stones. You can make use of the stones. You can build walls out of the stones. And then gathering stones could refer to preparing, as I mentioned, preparing the ground for planting. In verse 5, second part of verse 5, embracing and refraining from embracing. You embrace always, but it says here, there are times you don't have to embrace, refraining from embracing. In the Middle East, even right here in our country, people show their affection by hugging or embracing. When they met and when they part, it's another way of saying welcome and goodbye. They show their welcome and goodbye, hello and goodbye by embracing. Searching, verse 6, searching and giving up. This, I like this. It's a time to search and a time to give up for lost. My mind just goes to Malaysian airplane that was lost. Last week there was a news that the wing had been found. It was verified because of the number sign. But I don't know where did it fall. So when they had a search and rescue operation, and the plane was lost. But after so many weeks, they thought it hopeless to find survivors. They've changed that program from search and rescue operation to search and recovery. Recovery, whatever they can recover, body or things, whatever. Search and recovery. In verse 6, second part of verse 6, this is good for garage sale. What does verse 6 says? A time to keep and a time to dispose. Yeah? We like to dispose things. You have to clean our house. Go to garage sale. A time to keep and a time to dispose. Verse 7, tearing and mending. Jewish practice, when they're in grief, somebody died or there's a grief in the family, they rend their garments, they tear their garments to show that they're in grief, that they are so lonely, something they like heaven falling on them, they tear their garments in grief. They weep. We Christians are allowed to weep. Yeah, we can weep if there's something to, we're in grief, something die in our family or sad things happen. But we don't grieve as unbelievers do. There's a time for mending also. Those garments that we have torn will rip, sew them together again. Time to tear and time to mend. I have received a letter from one of my co-graduates in Bible school alumni, just giving us, updating our whereabouts, all my group, alumni group, address, name and address alphabetically arranged. There are some names there who don't have address, but the address says, address relocated to new address. And then John 14, 1 to 3. They've been with the Lord. Instead of saying, died, he passed, says, relocated to new address. I think all of us, one day, will be relocated to a new address. And the address is John 14, 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again. And if I come, I will take you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's our new relocated address. John 14, 1 to 3. It's a blessing. I've been blessed by that new address. And then verse 8, loving and hating. In the Bible, we're told not to hate. Not to hate others. But in the later part of that verse, Solomon was speaking about war and peace. So he must have the nation in mind. When the nation, in the Old Testament, lots of wars, they go to war. But sometimes they declare peace with other nations. It's between war and hate, time to love and time to hate. Must be referring to the nation. You are not only told not to look up, but he said, look within. Eternity is in your heart. Verse 11. Solomon is no longer looking at life under the sun, but in the light of the new evidence, he gave three answers to his question in verse 9. There's a question in verse 9. He asked the question in verse 9. It says, what does the worker gain from his toil or labor? What benefit? You keep on working? What do we gain from that? He gave three answers to this question. First, man's life is a gift from God. Verse 10, he has made everything beautiful in his time. He also has set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet he cannot fathom what God has done for him from beginning to end. It's a gift of God. Burdens may seem as a strange gift, but they are gifts just the same. It's still God's gift. If we see that burdens are a gift from God, we will have a better attitude towards these burdens as they come our way. Outlook determines outcome. How we look at these burdens determines how we act or react to it. Outlook determines outcome in us. And then, secondly, man's life is linked to eternity. Verse 11, He has set eternity in the hearts of men. Man was created in the image of God. God is working His purpose in our life, not in our time, in His time. And it's beautiful. If it's God's time, it's beautiful. It's good for us. We may not feel it, but only believers can understand. That's why he said, man can never fathom what God is, how God is working in his life. Man can never fathom. Verse 11. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Second part of verse 11. Thirdly, man can enjoy life now. Verse 12 to verse 14. We're given life. We can enjoy it, but we can enjoy it not in the future, not when we get rich, not when we're successful in our business, but he said, man can enjoy life now, any moment. Enjoyment of life is the theme of Ecclesiastes. That's the theme, enjoyment of life. That's why Solomon started with, life is nothing, but later on, life is something. That's the theme, enjoyment of life. No matter how difficult life may be, enjoy it. Life is meaningful. Instead of complaining what we don't have, enjoy what we do have and thank God for it. We might not have what we do have, might not be as good as our neighbors, but less in value, but enjoy what we do have and thank God for it. A friend of mine told me they're working on the farm in the Philippines. There are six brothers, all no sisters, six brothers. And the parents take advantage of them. They all work on the farm. And then while eating at lunchtime, they don't have much food, whatever, just maybe whatever, dried fish. The eldest brother, let's pray. What? Pray? We don't have good food. Still pray? No, I don't like the food. He said, we still have to pray. Well, eldest brother acted as the pastor of the family. Solomon is not saying, don't worry, just be happy. He was not preaching the power of positive thinking. He said, enjoy life, whatever. So he was not planting in the minds of people the power of positive, think positively, things will go better. Not positive thinking. But Solomon was promoting faith in God. If you're a believer, life is not meaningless. The little things that come our way, they're beautiful because God gave it to us in His time. If you don't have it, maybe it's not yet His time for us. Eternity, someone said, let me quote this. Eternity to the believer is a day that has no sunset. Again, let me repeat. Eternity to the believer is a day that has no sunset. But eternity to the unbeliever is a night that has no sunrise. That's why I remember that song for that theme, Sunrise Tomorrow. Sunrise tomorrow, sunrise. There will be sunrise for us. We may be at the middle of the night, but morning will come, sunrise, because our assurance is Jesus is alive. He is a resurrected Savior. God is in control. We don't need to fear everything, anything. And then he said, look ahead. Thirdly, look ahead. Death is coming. I don't enjoy so much studying this portion here, but it's the truth. Solomon revealed, told us. He said, look ahead. Death is coming to all. Chapter 3, 15 to 21. God is in control in the cycle of life, the cycle of our life. But we ask question, How can God be in control when the wicked are prospering in their sin? And the believers of the righteous are suffering in their obedience to God. We don't understand. But Solomon comforted himself with an assurance. God has a time for everything, including judgment. Verse 17 says, I thought in my heart, God will bring to judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for every activity. God has a time for everything, even in judgment. And then finally, the preacher closed this chapter by reminding us to accept life and enjoy it. Have a good outlook on life. Not only having a positive thinking, power of positive thinking, but the power of the faith that we have in God. Faith in God, faith in the Lord. There is nothing better for a man than to enjoy his work, enjoy his toil, enjoy his labor, because this is what has given him. It's a gift. Burden is also a gift from the Lord. It's easier said than difficult to accept sometimes. Burden, a gift from the Lord. Only Christians can understand this. It's hard, but these are times when we just have to have. Solomon is promoting faith in God. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Why not bread for the whole year, bread for the whole month, so that day by day we are dependent on Him. We depend on Him. If we have all this food in the granary, in the storehouse for 1 year, we will not think about asking God for help. We wouldn't even thank God for the food. But the Lord's Prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. So day by day, we come to Him in praise, prayer and thanksgiving for the food that He supplies. Manna doesn't come for the whole, but it's a daily. In the wilderness, the children of Israel, manna comes every morning, daily. They have to depend upon God. Thank God for that. Life is from God. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Faith learns to live. We live by the promises of God, not by explanation, not even by logic. We cannot explain life, but we must experience life either by enduring it, enduring life, or enjoying it. When burden comes, we endure, still part of life, or enjoy it. If we live by faith, we can say with Paul, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances, Philippians 4:11. I'd like to close with a song. Perhaps you know this. I will not sing it, but just the words. I know who holds tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. Give us our daily bread from day to day, as the manna is given day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, even if the sun shines. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray or cloudy day. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what is ahead. The chorus says, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank Thee for the assurance that You have given us, because You have saved us, And the greatest assurance that you have is our Lord is a resurrected Lord. He didn't remain in the grave. We have hope. Our hope is only in Thee, O God. Lord, we oftentimes say thank You for the blessings, for the joy, whatever You have given us, the good things. But allow us to say also sometimes, thank You for the burdens that You have sent for us. For there we learn to trust and pray for Thee. Thank You for everything, O God. Pray for Thy blessing upon each one, even as we disperse and go to our respective homes. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.